This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us here ahead of an action-packed week. Good week as well in the world of golf. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall all with you. Dave Tindall on Skype this week as we get set to look ahead to the Dubai Desert Classic on the European Tour and the Waste Management Phoenix Open on the PGA Tour. First of all, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Dave Tindall. How are you doing, Dave?
Yeah, you join me live here in Dubai. I'm actually in Salta, but there you go.
Well, they're one of the same, Dave. They're one of the same. And Mr. Mike Grenham is with us as well. Mike, good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Dave Kellner. Is it like Basil Brush, Mr. Roy?
Hello, Mr. Dave.
Hello, Dave.
It seems like this golfing week, Mike, has been going on forever, doesn't it?
It does, with the delay in the Farmers.
Yeah, yeah, and with Qatar starting on Wednesday.
Of course, that's right. Yeah, we'd five consecutive days. Six days, was it even?
Six days of golf.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was an annoying night for me because I had Walker and Holmes going into the final round, and then that nasty weather kind of blew them off course a bit, didn't it? Walker got placed, but
yeah,
Holmes was sixth. How many times in a season do we have players that finish sixth?
It's frustrating, isn't it, to say the least.
It does happen, doesn't it? But at least Walker got placed. In fact, I was hoping that Walker bogey the last, then they'd have both been placed, bizarrely enough.
Yeah, weird.
That's the truth as well. They'd have finished tied fifth. But anyway, great round by Brant Snedeker, wasn't it, to win in the bad weather. Fantastic round by him. Mm. He had the cards fell for him a little bit, but he made the most of it, didn't he?
He did. Round of 69 in tough conditions, Dave. To win the Farmers. As Mike mentioned, got Jimmy Walker placed on the podcast last week, but that 69 was pretty special from Snedeker.
Yeah, it was superb, wasn't it? You just can't take it away from him, as Mike said. The cards fell for him, but it must be niggling you a bit that, had it just been a normal final round, I think that was Jimmy Walker's tournament, that.
Yeah, I think that as well.
Freakish sort of circumstances.
Because he was playing very well, actually, and yeah, I do. But it sounds a bit churlish to say it. You know, you have to deal with whatever happens, don't you? But it did fall a little bit nicely for Snedeker, but he was, to his credit, superb in that final round as well. So, it was a very interesting on-course coverage for a bit, wasn't it? Particularly on the Sunday night where they just came blown all over the place, weren't they?
It's fascinating, those tournaments, when someone gets in early and you see the sort of realisation and in the odds that, hang on, this might stand up. And I was working on Sunday night and I can remember seeing Snedeker emerge at 20s and then suddenly he'd crashed at sort of 2-5 within no time.
We had the same conversations ourselves here, Dave. I noticed it 5 minutes too late, I think. I just thought, hold on a minute, he's coming. And then he got another birdie just after I thought it, and then you missed the boat, haven't you? So
I actually backed Gary Woodland after round one.
Did you?
So I spent most of Sunday night just cursing as he dropped like a stone.
He wasn't the only one
down the leaderboard. He wasn't the only one.
Terrible score. Scott Brown. What did he shoot in the final round? He was leading, wasn't he? After round three.
Well, Woodland shot 10 over par in round four.
Well, Brown shot 13 over.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah,
he shot 84
something like
or something.
Yeah.
He was leading. Imagine if you backed him.
Yeah. So.
And San Diego, it's just bizarre to see that weather there, wasn't it, really? But there you go.
In Qatar, what seems like an age ago, Brandon Grace defended his title, Dave. He was good on Sunday. Chipping was incredible in the final round, put on a short game masterclass in pretty tough conditions as well. Not anywhere near as tough as what we saw in San Diego, but windy conditions to win again, Dave.
Yeah, he was great. I always had the feeling that was going to be his tournament, and it just as it played out on Sunday, he felt once he hit the front, it was kind of, he's such a good front runner, isn't he, Brandon Gray? So once he got in front, he could just sort of par his way to victory. And I put him up, didn't I, in a double with Jason Day before. I knew Jason Day was ill.
Yeah.
And I flew. You know, sometimes you think, well, why do you get so greedy? I could have just done Grace as a single. Because I was really sure he was going to win that event, but I just
didn't pull the trigger.
Greedy, aren't you? So that's it. To compound your woe, dare I do this in case the Samaritans will end up getting a call later in the afternoon. But it wasn't Brant Snedeker your player you didn't want to win, if I remember rightly?
I think he was.
I will. Hey-ho. Just stick on a Morrissey record and you'll be,
well,
you'll be
awake. He's in Saltaire at the moment. You're going heaven to have him knows. walking towards the cliffs soon if you're not careful,
Sticking
Mike.
On Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now by the Smiths.
Let's get stuck into this week then, chaps. And we'll start with the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. And Rory McIlroy is the 9-4 favourite here with William Hill. Henrik Stenson 10-1, Martin Keimer 22s, Louis Oosthuizen 25-1, Andy Sullivan, Byung Yun Ahn, Rafa Cabrera Bello, and Thomas Peters all 28s, and it's 30-1 and bigger the rest. This course, the Majlis course at the Emirates Club, 7,327 yard par 72, does suit the long hitter. Four of the last five winners around here have ranked inside the top five in driving distance. And Dave, it's a typical desert track, this one, and we've seen the form throughout the years correlate between here, Abu Dhabi, and to a lesser extent, Qatar, and we've seen multiple winners of this championship as well.
Yeah, it's kind of it's set up, isn't it? It was the scene of Rory's first European Tour in 2009 when he had hair like Krusty the Clown, and then he won it obviously last year as well, and he's had load of top tens in between. They are just designed for his kind of long, high-hitting golf. And it's very, very obvious why he's the 9-4 favourite, isn't it, this week?
Yeah. The modus operandi around this golf course, Mike, is to bomb it, find the green in the right... And I suppose this is the way on numerous golf courses.
Yeah.
But especially this one, you can get away with it off the tee. You can hit it as far as you want and as wide as you want, seemingly. As long as you have a half-decent week with the putter, which McIlroy did last year.
Yeah.
He's got a big chance this week.
Yeah, and you're looking about 20 under to win, aren't you? So you've got to hit it a long way and take your birdies.
Yeah.
I suppose one little doubt against Rory McIlroy, and I haven't picked him myself. I don't know if either of you guys have, but obviously his course form is outstanding, but his putting isn't maybe quite as hot as you might like.
That's definitely the niggle, isn't it, if you're thinking about backing him at 9-4. Yeah. I think the price is... I'm not going to tip him this week, Dave, but I think the price is fair.
Yeah,
it's the kind of, if you're a layer, you don't want people sort of being each way thieves with it, do you? And because I think he will finish top five. It's just whether, as Mike said, he holds enough putts to
win it.
If he does, then he wins, doesn't he? But he seems to be going through one of those phases where he lines up a putt and you almost expect him to miss, and I think he half does as well. So so I'm not willing to play at 9-4 either, I have to say.
You can understand people doing it because of his fantastic record and his brilliance as a player. But I'd just like to see my 9-4 shot putting better.
Yeah.
If I was going to take one, that's my view.
No, I agree. I think we're all in agreement there. I've just got one pick for this event. Mike?
I've got two.
And Dave?
Just one.
Okay, I'll let Mike tee off.
I think I know Dave's pick.
This Dave or that Dave?
Dave T. Skype Dave.
Skype Dave.
Yeah, Skype Dave. I'm going to have a guess that before he does it. Right, my first pick is a guy that I picked last week, Bernd Wiesberger, who played reasonably well in Qatar to finish 13th. But a very interesting fact, and he need to do this much better this week, I'm praying that he will, was it was only 200 on the par 5s for the whole tournament.
Right.
So Brandon Grace, I think, was about 9-under. For those holes, so I don't know what he was doing on the par fives. I kept watching his scorecard, and he couldn't birdie them at all. He didn't drop shots on them; he parred them all pretty much, I think. So I'm hoping that I don't really understand, because he's a long hitter, which is what you need here. Was fourth here last year and ninth the year before, so has good course form. He's just in really solid form. Everything I said about him last week, I'm not going to repeat it all again. He likes playing over in this part of the world. And I'm just hoping that he has a better week on the par fives, and if he does, and if he shows the form he's done in the Dubai Desert Classic the last 2 years, I think he'll be very hard to keep out of the places. A very decent price of 33-1. He should have finished higher last week than 13th. He really didn't have a great final round, but I think he's decent at double carpet. It'll do for me.
33-1, Bernd Wiesberger. And do you want a stab at Dave's selection then?
Andy Sullivan.
Mr. Tindall?
I was close. He's on my sort of next level. Yeah, very close, but not quite.
Oh, I'm disappointed.
He's the first loser of the week, yeah. Just thought, listen, I can get another one out of this.
He's thinking.
Dave, your selection then?
Yeah, so my selection is a bit of a podcast favourite, I think. Possibly with you, Mike. It's Joost Louten.
Yeah, I can see that.
There's quite a lot of players around the sort of Andy Sullivan 28 to 35 to 1 mark whose form is pretty much exposed at this course. But I think Louten's isn't, and that's why he's 40 to 1. But I think if you dig a little bit deeper, there's sort of signs for hope. Certainly in terms of current form, the two Desert Swing events, he was 5th in Abu Dhabi, 13th in Qatar, so he's got great current form. Little interview with him in Abu Dhabi, he said he'd switched balls, which had helped him, just in terms of ball flight. And he also said he'd worked hard in Dubai sort of the week before Joost Louten put week before Abu Dhabi and put a lot of practice in and it was paying off, and he admitted last year wasn't his best, but he said the break has really helped him, and you can see that in his results, so that's fine. But then you go to his course form and it doesn't look so great. He's got 3 missed cuts and 3 kind of okay-ish finishes, but his last 8 rounds there, 7 of them have been 70 or better, so he's got 5 70s and a 68 and a 69, so he's close. Mm. What really sort of helps me is that his form in these desert courses is excellent, to be honest. He's got a 6, a couple of 6s and a 5th in Abu Dhabi. He's played well in the DP World Tour Championship. He's got a 9th and a 4th. So last 9 events, he's got 5 top 10 finishes in these desert conditions. So I just think he's due to put a big one in at the Emirates course. And the form he's shown in the last 2 weeks, I think it might be now. And he's just a player who started the season well. We saw actually with Wiesberger last year, who Mike's picked. He played well in the first of these desert events and just kept playing well every week. And I think it's going to be the same with Louten. Mm. And it's a Ryder Cup year as well, isn't it? That's going to be on his mind. He wants to get some points on the board. So I just think 40-1 is a nice sort of sporting each way price.
Very good. Joost Louten is Dave's selection. I'm going with a podcast favourite as well. Thomas Peters is my pick
as well.
Yeah, he's been clipped in a little bit, hasn't he?
He has.
He was 33. He's into 28 to 1 now.
That nearly put me off, but it was too late.
I think this setup is perfect for him. I've only had one pick because it's not an event I want to go overboard in, given McIlroy is, in my opinion, such a solid favourite at 9 to 4. But I think if there's going to be a man that beats him this week, it could be Thomas Peters. Performance behind Ricky Fowler in Abu Dhabi, having been 4th in that event the previous year, shows he can handle desert golf. And given that he was 16-1 last week in Qatar and he's 28, I know this field's a lot stronger than last week's. I thought 28-1 was reasonable. He tweeted actually after Qatar, he hashtagged bye bye windy Doha. So maybe he didn't relish conditions last week. This is an even more suitable venue for his game. I'm looking to take Rory McIlroy on with a player that I believe can go right to the top of the game, and Peters can. Back-to-back titles on the European Tour last year in the Czech Masters and the KLM Open. This looks to suit him perfectly. A course where you can bomb it a long way, and he puts well as well. So Peters, my sole selection in this event.
Yeah, he's my pick as well, Dave, and my second pick. But for a poor round 3 last year, he'd have finished a fair bit higher. He shot 75 for some reason there. He's a much better player now, and everything else you say applies, so I think he's worth a crack this week.
Yep, 28-1 Thomas Peters for both myself and Mike. Who came closest, Dave? Who just missed out?
Yeah, a few more I looked at. Andy Sullivan, as Mike said, very close with him. George Kurtsey, got lots of good desert form coming back into showing some of his better play again. And Thorbjørn Olesen is another one who always does well in these desert events and did so again last week. So they were all similarly priced, but I just thought I'd take the little extra bit on Louten.
Yeah, good stuff. I like George Kurtsey. I think he'll go well. 35-1 he is. Mike?
Yeah, and I'd agree with most of Dave's mentions there. All of those were on my list as well, strangely enough. Danny Willett could go pretty well at 40s. He caught my eye. He can hit it a long way, and this He's got some reasonable form here. Maybe it's time for him to elevate that a little bit.
I think people have almost forgotten about Danny Willett, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. And his form is, it's only the event before last when he was second or third, wasn't he? If I remember
fourth.
So he thought he's. I'm talking myself into backing him actually. I could see him outperforming those odds for sure. And anyone else? Oh, I don't know. I'm surprised none of us have mentioned Henrik Stenson, who looks like he's coming back. Ten's maybe a bit short.
His performance in Abu Dhabi was very good, considering his form figures around Abu Dhabi weren't that good.
Whereas this is a course that he likes.
Yeah.
I think he'll be a victim of that bounce theory, you know, when someone comes back.
Do you?
Does well first time out.
He's not a racehorse. Do you realise that?
I've seen it in golfers, so they get buying a bit of adrenaline and then suddenly it kicks in a bit.
Right, okay.
Right,
so
okay, well, yeah.
Would he be one to avoid for you then? One to swerve maybe this week?
Slightly, yes, I think so.
Okay.
Well, that's very clear. That was about it. Stephen Gallagher could look massive with his course form, but he's really, he's dropped like a stone.
He's out of form, isn't he?
Massively.
50-1.
But he loves it here, doesn't he?
Mm. Rory McIlroy, 9-4 favourite for the event then. That event starts at 3:30 a.m. on Thursday morning. Let's move on to the Waste Management Phoenix Open, which is the PGA Tour event this week. And Bubba Watson is the 11-1 favourite for this event. Brant Snedeker, going for back-to-back wins, is 14-1. Brooks Koepka, defending champion, 16-1. Ricky Fowler is 16-1. Hideki Matsuyama, JB Holmes, Jason Duffner, Kevin Kisner, and Phil Mickelson, all 25s, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. Mike, this is one of my favorite. I think I say this on every single yearly podcast we do when the Phoenix Open is on, but it's one of my favorite events. It's the one where the crowds can be. They're supportive of the players, but some players can get overawed by the aspects of the tournament. The atmosphere transmits itself through the television screen. It looks like a blast to attend, and I'm sure if you're playing and you're that sort of player that enjoys the adrenaline flowing through your system, you can get really up for this tournament.
Yeah, and tell me, Dave, you're an NFL fan. It's obviously Super Bowl this Sunday in Arizona. Well, Arizona didn't make the final, did they? But
no.
Will they start the final round any earlier? It often clashes with the Super Bowl, doesn't it?
Often does, so they might start a few hours earlier. But it's always played on Super Bowl weekend, isn't it? Because you get
pretty
that stadium
always,
atmosphere.
Yeah.
Stadium atmosphere.
It always seems
16.
To add to it, doesn't it, when it is, as it usually is, as you rightly say. And it'd have been even more mental if they'd have got there, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Would have been.
But it's a fantastic event, and we've all got great memories of some of the things that happened there. So, yeah, I love it too.
And just to put the attendance into context here, over 500,000 people will go through the gates over the 4 days at TPC Scottsdale, and an Open Championship for the week is circa 200,000 people. So this is the best attended tournament on the PGA Tour, without a doubt.
If you take into account, rather than sort of Open crowds, it'll be a mix of sort of people and little old ladies and Scottish people are a bit more refined. This is just a massive kind of college doofus gathering, isn't it? Where they all go absolutely berserk.
As far as TPC Scottsdale is concerned as well, par 71, modest yardage, 7,266 yards in total, 3 par 5s, 11 par 4s and 4 par 3s. Enter the golf course is good with the amphitheatre of the par 3 16th, followed by the drivable 17th, so a lot can change late on in the event. Distance has been an advantage here throughout the years, Mike, but interesting to note that in Rob Bolton's power rankings, he mentions the average distance of all drives was down 10 to 15 yards last year, and that came on the back of Tom Weisskopf's alterations to the course as well. So maybe distance, maybe not as much of an advantage as it has been in previous years. Perhaps.
Do you think last year? Brooks Koepka hits it a mile.
He does. But the average distance of drives was down.
Yeah.
But Koepka does hit a mile, and we've seen bombers prevail here throughout the years.
Yeah. When I looked at the top 10 or so last year, there was a lot of big hitters in it. So that wouldn't worry me at all. It's definitely another grip it and rip it course.
Mm. I've just got the one pick here, Mr. Tindall.
I've got two.
Go on then, Dave. I'll lead off then.
I wonder if Mike's going to agree with this, but I'm going for Martin Laird as my first pick.
He was probably my last man out, to be fair, Dave. Him and another guy were the last men out. But yeah, no, I haven't picked him, but I was tempted.
Yeah, Martin Laird, for whatever reason, given that he was brought up in Scotland, he's just got fantastic form on desert courses. In this event, he was fifth last year, top 20 again the year before, third in 2011 when he shot 64-65 on the weekend. Then you go back further into his career, he's got a win and a second place in Las Vegas in the, I think it was the Justin Timberlake when he won it. He got fourth, a second and a sixth in the Reno Tahoe one, the Barracuda. So he's just got all this fantastic, so many of his best results have been in desert conditions. So I think he'll be glad to get away from the wind and the sort of seaside of the Farmers Insurance Open. And yet...
He played well there, Dave. Yeah, he did, yeah.
He finished eighth in that tournament. He had a difficult weekend, but so what, so did everyone else. But the fact he could finish eighth there suggests he's coming right bang into form. And on this desert track where he thrives, I thought 50-1 was a fair price on a guy who can win tournaments.
Yeah, Martin Laird, 50-1. Yeah. Mike came close for you as well.
He did come close to me, Dave, yeah. He was right up there at the top of my... as I said, there's probably two players that just missed out. One of my players is a pretty strong bet for me, but he's just been clipped literally in the last 4 minutes as I look at the prices by our dastardly odds compilers. And I nearly used another word. They seem to do it to us all the time, but he's got only a point, to be fair. Bubba Watson, 12s into 11s. I think he's by a long way much better value than Rory McIlroy this week. Great form here at Scottsdale. Second in the last two outings here and fifth the year before that, 15th in the sandwiched in between. So he's got as good form here as Rory has in Dubai. He's five times the price. I really think Watson is often underrated. I think he's a top four player, top five player. I think he stands apart from most of the others after that, you know, and he never quite seems to be considered with the elite of the game, but I think he'll go very well at Augusta this year, where he loves playing. He's in very good form, hits it a country mile, as we know. 10th last time out, I'm expecting the high under. I'm expecting him to step up on that and see if he can get himself back into that world top four. I don't know if a win here would do that and get him above Ricky Fowler. Not sure it would, but yeah, he's a great struts tee to green player as well, which looked to be important here last year.
Definitely.
So Bubba ticks all the boxes for me. I think 12-1 was something of a mouth-watering price, and 11s isn't much worse, let's be fair. So he's a strong bet for me. He really is. I'm surprised. If his name was Spieth or Day with the same form figures and course figures, I think he'd be shorter than that.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And I don't think there's as much in it as people sometimes think, particularly on courses like this.
11-1, Bubba Watson for Mike. I'm having a good bet as well this week. I'm going to play 1.5 points each way. Webb Simpson is my selection at 40-1 in this event. I think he's got a very, very similar profile to Jason Duffner. And he went and won the Career Builder Challenge on a course that maybe you'd think putting is key. But I kind of agree with Mike. I think strokes gained tee to green is very important around this venue. And Webb Simpson is striking the ball very well at the moment. I finished top 20 in the Sony Open and the aforementioned Career Builder Challenge. And the putting woes are a notable concern because he's had to move from the anchored putter to the shorter putter. But significant improvement in the Career Builder in the two rounds that were measured at La Quinta. And he's finished inside the top 10 in his last three appearances here in Phoenix at Scottsdale. Back in 2011, finished eighth. 2012, he finished eighth as well. And had another top 10 when last playing here, Webb Simpson. And that was back in 2014. So I think he's got very good course form coupled with very good recent form. And I expect him to go well in Phoenix this week. So Webb Simpson, 1.5 points each way at 40-1 is my sole selection in this event. Dave?
Yes, my second selection, probably can class him as another podcast favourite, Ryan Palmer.
Yeah.
Did you put him up, Mike, in the Career Builder Challenge?
I did, yeah.
And he obviously did pretty well there. He was tied 17th, opened 67, 66, 66, and just didn't have it in the final round when he shot 73.
He played poorly in round four, yeah.
Followed on from 13th in the Sony Open. So basically he's in good form. It could be an advantage. I'm not sure that he kind of avoided the mess of last week. He took the Torrey Pines week off. So he'll be a little bit fresher than some of those who battered the winds. And just his form at Scottsdale, in theory, it should suit him because he's one of these who can give it a tonk and then he can make loads of birdies, can't he? And he's got good par five numbers. I think that's what you need here. And it's shown out in his results. You go way back and he was runner-up in 2006. He was runner-up again last year. Mm. He's got a fifth in 2013, another top 15 in 2010. So loads and loads of course form. I think it is a course where I think I've done quite well backing players with course form in this event. So it's kind of in my mind to stay on that. So I thought, to be honest, I pretty much guessed his price of 33-1. So I'm not sort of delighted or sort of disappointed. I think that's about right. I think it's enough to play him.
Ryan Palmer, 33-1. Dave makes a good point about something we're not discussed as well there, Mike, about players that have played last week in the Farmers in those conditions having to stay late into Monday if you've made the cut.
Yeah.
It could be a factor
this
week.
It could be a factor. It wouldn't worry me unduly, but no. As Dave says, it's probably more of a negative than a positive if you did play. So, but it wouldn't put me off that much. They've got a couple of days to recover, haven't they?
Yeah. Your second selection?
Dave, my second selection is Scott Piercy, who did play at Torrey Pines last week, but didn't shine, to be honest. He was 67th in the win there, an event that probably didn't play out that well for him in the end. But he's been in very good form, and he's got a couple of good finishes here in recent years. He was third in 2013 season, 15th in 14, and last year missed the cut, just before he started to play well, to be fair. But he hits it a mile, Piercy. He's a long hitter. I'd like to see Strutt's gain tee to green fit stats to be a little bit better than they are, Dave. That stat that we quite like here. But he's 66-1, and given that he is he's a desert rat himself. He's from Las Vegas. He's got wins in the desert. I always think he plays well in these conditions. So 66-1 catches my eye. He's a birdie machine as well. He likes low scoring events, so this is the kind of thing that will suit him down to the ground. Experienced, won't be bothered by the big crowds, will be used to it, will hopefully thrive on it. Yeah, 66-1, I like that as a good outside play. I'm hoping that he can build on the form that he was showing just before the Farmers. He was in good recent form, most notably a 13th in the Sony. So Piercy, who won the Barbasol last year, I'm hoping he can win here this week.
I had a load in my mind for just honourable mentions as well, a whole ton of them.
Yeah, there's a few, isn't there?
Yeah, that's why I only had one bet, really, because I could have picked four or five out away from Webb Simpson. Quite like the man you went for last week, Jamie Lovemark, round here, 66-1. Dave, I think this is up his alley, this sort of event. I like Siwoo Kim at 66-1. Patton Kiziri was close at 80-1 as well. Had a whole number, Dave, that I quite liked as honourable mentions here.
Yeah, I think there's a lot, isn't there? I mean, even at the front end of the market, there's no reason why Snedeker can't play really well again. He's got good form on this course. He's basically just sat about, hasn't he? He's got that tremendous win. He's not had to do anything. He's not got battered in the wind again for another day. Koepka, we saw him play really well at the start of the season. Fowler, you've got to be able to forgive him one bad week last week, coming back from Abu Dhabi where he was a superb winner. Matsuyama's got, a second and a fourth. JB Holmes, I mean, Duffner, there's a lot, isn't there? The front, Mickelson even.
Yeah, Mickelson's round was a disaster, wasn't it, last week?
Yeah, but it's one bad round in amongst, five good ones, six good ones.
I think this is what Mickelson wants as well, because he is spraying it from the tee. I mean, he's all over the place from the tee, Mickelson.
Yeah, but do you remember a few years ago, I think he's won this three or four times. He nearly shot that 59, didn't he?
Yeah, I remember that.
When he went pillar to post. And it's where he went to college, isn't it? Arizona State, I think it was. So he's the massive sort of darling of the crowds. loves this atmosphere where they all go bonkers. So 25-1 could still be a decent price on Mickelson, because you kind of know he might be brilliant or he might be rubbish. So, you know, you've got the good bit going for you.
Yeah, no, it's a fair call. JB Holmes, you mentioned there, Dave. He was another player who was on my mind. But I backed him, obviously, at the weekend then, the Farmers. He didn't play very well in the final round. I know it was hard, but I wasn't thrilled with him. And 25 just seems a little bit short, but he's won this event twice and clearly loves it. Hasn't played as well in the last couple of years here, but he's definitely my player I don't want to win.
Okay. Who's the player you don't want to win this week, Dave?
I'd have to say Rory. Then I just think it was.
You can't have a 2-1 shot as a player you don't want to win.
Why not? What are the rules? Maybe.
There are no rules, but we might have to set one up, Dave.
Yeah.
All right. It's got to be above a certain price. Maybe Fowler then.
I just think with 2-1 9-4 shots, you can let them win, can't you, and not be that upset about it.
Yeah. That'd be my view.
It depends what you sort of the state you had in mind.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess so. I'm trying to think of one because there's so many names in the Waste Management Phoenix Open in particular. I suppose Gary Woodland we've not mentioned, and it would be galling if having backed him last week at 40s if he went and won. But I'm not particularly enamoured by his setup. He just wants to fade everything at the moment, and sets up so open that. If he gets out of rhythm, he suffers. I'm not sure I've got one that I don't want to win this week. There's so many. Jamie Lovemark, I suppose, would be mine. Was one of the last names off my list.
Put that in the European event, dude.
At 66-1. Mika Willinen, who we didn't mention earlier in the European events, got a couple of decent finishes here, and he's in the betting at 66-1.
Danny Willett be my player.
Danny Willett.
I might even have a little save on him.
Dave, recap your selections then for this week's championships.
Yeah, so in Dubai, I'm going to have a point each way on Yousse Louton at 40-1. And then in Phoenix, I'm going to have a point each way, Ryan Palmer at 33s. And a point each way, Martin Laird at 50s.
And Mike, did you do the Scottish accent then, Dave?
Yeah, I think he did, didn't he?
It's a sort of mix, a kind of cross-Atlantic Scotsman in America mix.
I'm not doing any accents here. Wiesberger, who I won't even attempt. I'll have a point each way on him at 33s, and Peters a point each way on him at 28s.
Yeah, 28s.
And in I can go back and do Louton if you want.
yeah, go on.
Okay, I'm having 1 point each way on Bruce Louton.
Oh dear.
That's a way to finish a podcast, isn't it?
Phoenix, I'm having Bubba. 3 points win in a point place, and Scott Piercy a point each way at 66.
Very good, very good.
Oh, 11, sorry.
Yeah, 11-1. Nice try. I'll go a point each way, Thomas Peters at 28-1, Dubai Desert Classic, and 1.5 points each way, Webb Simpson, who I'm keen on in the Waste Management Phoenix Open at 40-1. Thank you for your company, Mr. Tindall.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grenham.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. You can get us on iTunes as well. And make sure you follow us all on Twitter at M. Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf, and at D. Kellner. And we'll all be back for next week's podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.